Session 138, March 8, 1965. Early Sessions, Volume 3. Good evening. Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth. We will continue this evening in our discussion of identities and action. Unfoldings continually occur, and all identities, with a few exceptions, contain within them also other identities, not duplicates. Our discussions in the past concerning gestalts should make this point clear. The frameworks and boundaries and extents and limitations of identities are not physical. Rob. For the material on psychic gestalts, see the 59th, 62nd, 81st, 96th, and 128th sections, among many others. Seth. Identities may be termed action, which is conscious of itself. For the purposes of our discussion, the terms action and identity must be separated. However, basically no such separation exists. For an identity is also a dimension of existence, action within action, an unfolding of action upon itself, and through this interweaving of action with itself, through this reaction, an identity is formed. The reality of such an identity then exists within the action. The energy of the action, the workings of action within and upon itself, forms identity. There are other causes here that we will consider later. Yet, although identity is formed from action, action and identity cannot be separated. You will remember our previous definition of action, for this will make this evening's discussion easier to understand. Rob notes, see the 137th session. Identity, then, is action's effect upon itself. Without identities, action would be meaningless, for there would be nothing upon which action could act. Action must, therefore, of its very nature, of itself, and from its own workings, create identities. Again, action and identity cannot be separated. This applies from the most simple to the most complex. Once more, action is not a force outside that acts upon matter. Action is instead the inside vitality of the inner universe.
It is the dilemma between inner vitality's desire and impetus to completely materialize itself and its inability to completely do so.
This was also discussed briefly in sessions dealing with the first appearance of matter within the physical field. Rob notes, see section 60, among others, along with the aforementioned material on psychic gestalts. See also the 137th session. Seth. Action is therefore a part of all structure. Here again is an apparent dilemma, an exquisite imbalance whose result is consciousness and existence. The consciousness and existence do not exist because of the delicate balances, so much as they are made possible by lax of balances. So richly creative, there would be no reality as it is understood to be if balance were ever maintained. I spoke of this second dilemma. The first dilemma is that which exists when inner vitality struggles to completely materialize. Although it cannot completely materialize, the reasons for its inability to completely materialize have been given in a previous section, and I will discuss their matter again at a later date. Rob notes, see the 133rd section, among others. Seth, this first dilemma results in action, and from action's own working upon itself, we have seen that identity is formed, and that these two are inseparable. We will discuss the second dilemma after your break. I suggest your break now. Break at 9:27. Jane was well dissociated. She said she believes she is farther out when the sessions are very slow, as tonight. The pauses could last for an hour, as far as she is concerned or knows. Jane said some subjective feelings are difficult to put into words. While talking about action and identity, She had an inner perception of a whole concept, of some kind of inside visual sense of action without seeing any object. She said this description is as direct as she can make it. While experiencing such a thing, Jane said she is not conscious of being apart from the experience. Rather, she seems to be a part of it. This appreciation of concepts is, according to Seth, the using of some of the inner senses, and he has mentioned this many times. He has called the fourth inner sense the conceptual sense, and began to develop upon this about a year ago, March 23, 1964, in the 37th session. Jane resumed dictation in the same slow and quiet manner at 9:37. Seth, I will shortly comment upon Rupert's inside experience, which you have just noted, as it is directly connected with the material now under discussion, and indeed is an example of the matter of which I have been speaking. First, we will speak of our second dilemma. Action, having of itself, and because of its nature, formed identity, now, also because of its nature, would seem to destroy identity, since action must involve change, and any change would seem to threaten identity. It is, however, a mistaken notion that identity is dependent upon stability. Identity, because of its characteristics, will continually seek stability, while stability is impossible. And this is our second dilemma. It is this dilemma, precisely between identity's constant attempts to maintain stability and action's inherent drive for change, that results in the imbalance, the exquisite creative byproduct that is consciousness of self. We have a series of creative strains. Identity must seek stability, while action must seek change. Yet identity could not exist without change, without action. For it is the result of action, and not apart from it, but apart of it. Identities are never constant, as you yourself are not the same consciously or unconsciously from one moment to another. Every action is a termination, as we discussed earlier, and yet without the termination, identity would cease to exist, for consciousness without action would cease to be conscious. Consciousness, therefore, is not a thing in itself. It is a dimension of action. It is an almost miraculous state made possible by what I choose to call a series of creative dilemmas. I will add a note here, only to remind you once more to read those sessions regarding inner vitality and the initial appearance of physical matter, for that discussion will help you with this one. Rob notes Jane took a very long pause. Seth, it should be fairly easy to understand now how the second dilemma evolved from the first. I have said that the second dilemma resulted in, and constantly results in, consciousness of self. Now, consciousness of self is not the same thing as consciousness of ego self. Consciousness of self is still consciousness directly connected with action. Ego consciousness is the result of our third dilemma. Suggest your break. Rob, break at 10:02. Jane reported she was as well dissociated as she has ever been. She used to be afraid that when she was way out, she would be empty, but she has discovered the state is not like that at all. Groping for words, Jane explained that she feels as though she is wrestling material, not implying a struggle, however, from Seth or some other source with a deep part of her consciousness that is below her own ego consciousness. She feels that just recently she has in some manner begun to experience concepts in a more involved, different dimension of consciousness. It is a state of perception she hadn't attained before, perhaps until as recently as the last session and this one. Indeed, Jane said, although she now thinks she was aware of this grasping of concepts in the last session, she did not mention it because her conscious awareness of it was so fleeting. Even now, she cannot say how long during the session itself she is involved in this matter. It is a very rich experience. Jane also believes the quiet back room we now use for the sessions is very helpful. She resumed in the same quiet and slow manner at 10:13. Seth. The ego is a state resulting from the third creative dilemma, which happens when consciousness of self attempts to separate itself from action. Since this is obviously impossible, since no consciousness of identity can exist without action, because they are inseparable, we have our third dilemma. A note of further explanation here. The difference between consciousness of self as a result of our second dilemma and ego consciousness as a result of our third dilemma should be made very clear. Consciousness of self involves a consciousness of self within, amid, and as a part of action. Ego consciousness, on the other hand, involves a state in which consciousness of self attempts to divorce itself from action, an attempt on the part of consciousness to perceive action as an object. Here we see that ego consciousness, in this attempt, strives to perceive action not only as separate, but to perceive it in such a fashion that it appears to ego that action is not only separate from itself, that is, separate from the ego, but that action is initiated by the ego and a result rather than a cause of ego's own existence. These three dilemmas represent three areas of reality within which inner reality or inner vitality can experience itself. And here we have also the reason, or one of the reasons why, inner vitality can never achieve complete materialization. The very action involved in vitality's attempt to materialize itself adds to the inner dimension of inner vitality. Action basically can never complete itself. Inner vitality, materializing in any form whatsoever, at once multiplies the possibilities of further materialization. At the same time, because inner vitality is self-generating, only a minute fraction of inner vitality is needed to seed a whole universe. Inner vitality attempts, therefore, to materialize itself completely, and yet, because of its very nature, with each materialization, it increases itself, making the attempt impossible. This is the basic dilemma from which all types of reality spring. This, of course, leads us to the necessity for further discussion concerning the nature of inner vitality itself. You may take a break and I will continue, or you may end the session as you prefer. Rob, we'll take the break then. Break at 10:31, Jane was dissociated. She feels she has attained a visceral knowledge of concepts, meaning that she feels them within. She also realized she was aware that she dictated to me during the session, although not the word-for-word order of the material. She called this a psychological experience. She obtained the information one way and passed it on to me another way. Jane also now realized that she had at her command the full contents of the 60th session, although again, not in word-for-word order. This is the first time she has been aware of this experience. She did not feel tired, nor did she look it to me. She resumed in the same quiet voice, though at a somewhat faster pace, at 10:42. Seth, in line with the statement that action necessarily changes that which it acts upon, in parentheses, which is basically itself, then it follows that the action involved in these sessions changes the nature of the sessions. I have spoken often of consciousness also as being merely the direction of focus. Action implies infinite possibilities of focus. Action never happens along a straight line, although at times you may perceive it in such a fashion. Rob notes, Seth, Jane, had some material on consciousness and the direction of focus in the 94th session, among others. Seth, action exists within action. There are dimensions of action from which all diversity arise, all individuality that seems to be swept away because one action seems to terminate another. Such individuality is indeed the result of the dimensions of action. I will discuss this more thoroughly. However, at present, Rupert is experiencing many more dimensions of action. He is experiencing action gestalts. Rob, Jane now took another very deep pause. Seth, to some degree, he becomes action. Like every other consciousness, he is always action. But this evening, he experienced, to some degree, action directly, without the usual attempt of the self to separate from action. I mentioned in our last session that this material would be the basis for many future sessions, and so I will certainly make no attempt to cover the material this evening. It is true, then, that another dimension has been added to our sessions, and I hope to instruct Rupert along these lines of more direct perception as our sessions continue. I have told you that such developments could be expected. These are natural unfoldings, and such developments will occur according to their own nature and in their own time. I expect that this latest one may involve of itself still another. My fondest regard to you both. Our next session will continue along these lines. Good night, Rob. Good night, Seth. Rob notes, end at 10:58, Jane was well dissociated. She felt Seth could have continued, but did not push her. Jane feels now that these recent developments means she has given some kind of consent to go along with the session into a deeper trance state, to step back farther from her ego, a step at a time, very cautiously. Jane thinks that tonight her ego didn't experience anything. Although some part of her did, she feels her ego gave at least tacit consent, and yet her ego assimilated the experience. She feels that this evening's session was good because of her experience with past sessions. She felt light at times during the session. At times, she was not conscious of being in her body, yet neither was she conscious of being anyplace else. Jane said, an interaction takes place between us that makes the sessions possible. It happens within her. She is the one doing the experiencing, yet I am also necessary. She has a feeling of effortlessness on her part and is not at all afraid.